And then it occurred to me, what luck.
Okay.
I
so,
swore a solemn
my family was really intense.
I was invited to a party.
Totally
and
different.
And I
come from a large Irish Italian Catholic family.
At the sound of the gong, it's time for Exfabula on WUWM at night. I'm Bruce Winter. Leah Delaney, the co-founder of Exfabula in Milwaukee, is here, and she has brought stories. And tonight we're talking summer.
We are talking summer. After this, like, Game of Thrones winter we've experienced, I thought maybe summer finally happened this week. Let's start talking about it.
Let's do some summer stories. And
yes, sir.
I guess you have some classics here.
Yeah, actually, I did want to talk a little bit about, like, you know, maybe have a story about Summerfest in there by our friend Tim Higgins. And then our friend Lauren Poppin told a story about camping back in the day at an event we had in 2011 called Emergency, which is fun, filled with facts and all that jazz. Do you have any particular Summerfest memories you want to share?
Oh, from Summerfest in the old days.
Yeah,
there are some unpleasant memories, but that you know, that's been changed about, you know, going to concerts and leaving just covered with mud.
Yep, the dirt roads. I actually remember that as a kid. You know, I remember when I went the first times I went to Summerfest, I was probably like 12 or 13 with my friends. All they wanted to do was sit on the rocks and look at boys for 12 hours. And I was probably the anomaly in that group. Like, I wanted to go see Spyro Gyra, for better or for worse, at Miller Lite Oasis. Like, everyone's like, no way.
No, it's changed a lot since the 70s and 80s. But, yeah, I remember just coming home just caked with mud because either you were sitting in the mud, walking through it, or, you know, whatever.
Speaking of mud, let's jump into our first story here. We're going to start out with Lauren Poppin. She has an awesome camping story from our 2011 event at Stonefly Brewery. The theme was emergency. Doo-doo-doo.
Okay.
It was my second ever camping trip with my first ever boyfriend. And we had two nights of camping before I took a bus off to Minneapolis to learn how to be a summer camp counselor, which I later learned I was just not meant to be, especially at Jesus Camp. So, we start on day two. We had a good sleep, good breakfast, it's time to go for a hike. I'd run in this woods a little bit while I was in college. We were down in Rockford, that's where I'm from. And there was this elusive staircase somewhere in the middle of the woods. I've only been there once, and it was during a race. And I wanted to find this staircase. So we looked at a map and kind of made a little game plan, and we went out. So it starts off okay. We're hiking along, but it's been a couple hours, and there's no staircase in sight. So I'm like, well, I think we need to be on the other side of that stream. Only there's no bridges, except for the main park road, but that's miles behind us, so we're not going back. And then I look ahead, and I'm like, oh, there's a tree! It fell over the stream! It's perfect. So I know what you're thinking. She crosses the tree, falls down 15 feet into the water, gets all cut up by the rocks, knocked unconscious, nearly drowns, but you'd be wrong, because we crossed safely. And then we're just hiking along, and we get to this little kind of a fork in the trail, but it's really just a fork that goes around an obstacle for like 10 feet. This obstacle is a fallen tree. And this girl here decided she wanted to jump over that fallen tree. I mean, I got long legs, and I suck at jumping, though. But the tree is only like this high off the ground, a little above my knee. So I back up, and I take a little bit of a running start. I get up to the tree, and I push off the ground, and I clear it. It's beautiful. It was perfection. Only I didn't see that on the other side of this fallen tree was another slightly smaller fallen tree. And landing with your ankle on a curved surface is not good. So I went down, and I was in a lot of pain. So at first I'm like, it'll be okay. This is just one of those things where you sit there with it for a little bit, and then the pain, you just let it sink in, and it goes away a little bit. And that didn't happen. So, thankfully and fortunately, I was not alone, like the many times I ran through the woods. But unfortunately, we didn't bring cell phones. I mean, this is a leisurely hike through the woods. Who needs a cell phone? This is where it becomes emergency, because Eric, my boyfriend, there's no way he could get me out of the woods. And this is not because he's weak or obviously because I'm fat. It's just because about 100 feet up the trail from where we are, the trail just morphs into this, I don't even know, single file, 45% grade downward sloping rocky badness. I'm not even exaggerating. It just like shoots down and it's not going to happen. So he leaves me to try to go find help and runs into some kids, says, hey, can you tell your parents to call the park ranger? And they do, and we sit there for a while, and the park rangers come, and they kind of scope out the whole situation. I mean, they know the woods really well, so they'd know if there was a better way out, and they said, no, we can't get you out of here. Like, what? They said that it was impossible to bring me to a place of safety. This is not looking good for me. So they said, but we can call an ambulance for you. I'm like, great. Didn't mention that I didn't have health insurance at this time, because I got laid off, and summer camp doesn't really provide for such luxuries. So I'm like, ambulance sounds expensive, but okay, I guess if I have to, I can't live here, so we'll have to move on. And so they call the EMTs. The EMTs come in, they analyze the situation, and they say, no, we can't do this. What am I supposed to do? I'm stuck in the woods. But they gave me an air cast, so at least there was some improvement. They tried to give me lots of morphine, but I rejected that idea. And they said, we have to call the fire department. And by the fire department, they meant the whole fire department. There were at least 15 to 20 men here trying to get me out of the woods. It's kind of like one of those, how many whatever does it take to screw in a light bulb jokes? That's really how I felt. So the supervisor here got really, really excited, because this is one of those things that they train for and they never, ever get to do. They strapped me to a backboard and brought me to the top of this hill and then just like laid me on the ground and set up their whole ropes course. So they tie these ropes to the trees. They put me in a Stokes basket, I think it's called. And they made sure that they had all their helmets on and did everything properly. They brought in a photographer to document the event. And I got to be a picture story in the local paper, which is kind of like the Bayview Compass, but more hickish. And it was just, it was a long time of waiting, because I'm pretty sure they double and triple checked every single knot on the tree. And I understand, I mean, they want to make sure that if a guy falls, I don't fall down with them and become a sled that knocks all of them out. But still, it was a long time. So then six men come at a time, and they carry me down the hill. And then they switch off six more. And then I notice I'm just staring at the sky the whole time. The terrain has changed, and we're walking on wood, and then we're going upwards. We're on the wooden staircase. Mission accomplished.
That was Lauren Poppin with her emergency story, and we have summer stories today.
Good time for it here on, tomorrow night's big fireworks, and Friday's more fireworks, so if this is the peak of summer, good night to be telling summer stories on the radio. Leo Delaney from X Fabula is here with stories from the X Fabula shows. And I suppose we should always remind people that these stories are told by local people. Mm-hmm. They are real people. These are real stories. They have no notes. It is as real as it gets. We're not hiring actors to come in and do this.
Yes, yes. No, we want the real stuff. The real stuff is the most compelling. So when we have a story slam, when we throw a theme at you, we want you to bring your personal experience to the stage. Under 5 minutes, please, because it's all timed.
Yeah.
Tim Higgins did just that this past year. We had an event at the Hot Water Warehouse where the theme was Off the Hook. Let's hear Tim's story, his actual Summerfest experience. Oh, and by the way, Tim Higgins is a member of Comedy Sports. So he has an interesting, funny story.
This should be good.
Yeah.
I always love following something deeply moving and ass cancer. I've been a part of Comedy Sports Milwaukee for a very long time now. Thank you, yes. 1992 is when I began. Then I moved away after I graduated high school, which was like 95. But I was back in 99. I was like, I'm only going to be in Milwaukee for about 3 years and I'm moving on. Good evening. But they have Summerfest every year. And back in the early 90s, Summerfest had a comedy stage. And Comedy Sports had two shows every single day. And each show would, like, get at least 1,000 people. At least 1,000 people. And then one year, somebody was like, nobody goes to see comedy at Summerfest. So they got rid of comedy. But while it was at Summerfest, it was 1999, and there was another staple of comedy and just entertainment in Milwaukee, Pat McCurdy. And he would have a show on every single stage every single day of comedy of Summerfest, Comedy Sports. No, of Summerfest. It's like, oh, it's 3:30. Pat McCurdy is somewhere. But at the end of every night was Pat McCurdy at the comedy stage. And it was Pat. Has anybody been at a McCurdy show? Yep. I'm glad you remember. Because a lot of people are just faced. They don't remember Jack. Because he just does a medley of every popular song possible in that, like, 20... or like two-decade span, like 20-year span, Pat McCurdy could link every song, like, fluidly. And he had a bass player at the time. He doesn't much anymore. Does anybody remember the bass player or his name? He was very quiet. He just was like, and just played bass. But he'd have a staple every night, and the song is called Nude Party. And it's like, I'm nude, you're nude, we're going to have a nude party. And that's the song. And it just continues on. And he invites people from the stage. Just invites them up. Come on, we're having a nude party. We're having a nude party. Well, Comedy Sports, we had two shows every single day at the comedy tent. So we would just hang out in back because there was a keg of beer that was free. We'd get to hang out with the headliners. And it was amazing. And so we were back there and we're just faced. And it's like, nice. And we're like... And I was like, we're like, no, the royal weir. I thought, I'm going up for that nude party. Genuinely. So I went up there. It's like nude party, dancing around, dropped everything. It's like, nude party. And my friends are off to the side and they're like, this is awesome. Keep it going. Do it! I'm like, yeah! And then I was like, okay, I've gone past back and forth enough. I'm going to jump off stage. And I do, and I hoist up my pants, and security comes in. They're like, hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. And everybody's like, no. The next day, though, I show up for a show, and everybody in the trailer is like, I can't believe it. Who would just ruin our name, Comedy Sports' name at Summerfest? Who the hell thinks they are dropping and getting naked during a Pat McCurdy show? How dare they? Everyone, some people, it's like, I would expect that reaction from them. But even some people, I'm like, wow, you're really upset about this. And like people that I was really respecting of, they're like, I am pissed and I hate whoever has done that. And everybody who knew it was me were just like, but then I was like, no, I'm going to own up to it. I'm going to tell everybody that it was me. And so I went up to the most pissed off of people. And there was at least three or four of them. And each of them, I was like, hey, you know, you did this. You're really pissed off about this. And they're like, yeah, I'm pissed off about this. I'm like, it was me. And they're like, you are. Yes! Off the hook. Thank you.
And so that was Tim Higgins with his Off the Hook story from our, believe it was the Off the Hook event.
As in, you're off the hook now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we sit here on Wednesday nights and listen to these stories. And I have to ask you, Leah, is anything anything brewing over the summer that we can partake of, ex-fabula-wise?
We are starting to plan and scheme our next season, our sixth season. And as far as summer is concerned, we will be doing some outreaching and we'll give you some heads up, some workshops happening, and a lot of interesting things that we will keep you in the know. If you go to the ex-fabula website, we have updates all the time. But our actual season starts. We have a September kickoff, and then the first Story Slam, that's going to be in October.
Okay.
Then it's on like Donkey Kong.
Okay. Can't we? You said listen to these. You want to go to a live show and see this stuff, but we'll we will be patient.
Please.
And we will wait till fall, and we'll all show up and hear these stories and yell and cheer and have a good time. We do this every Wednesday night at like 6 minutes after 9 o'clock. On WWM at night, Leah comes down and brings us stories. And we're so grateful that you do that. And we'll see you next week.
All right. See you then.